Ephesians chapter 2 this evening, start in verse 19, and finish up chapter 2 this evening of Ephesians. What a blessing Ephesians has been already. So many great truths and so much conviction, so much encouragement, so many lessons on doctrinal truths. Tonight's a little bit of all of that here in Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 19, the Bible says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So I've entitled the message, "The Household of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your powerful and precious word, use it in our hearts and lives. Guide us in your truth. We love you. We thank you for this privilege to be here together this evening. And we pray you'll meet with us in a personal way. We ask it in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says that we are part of a household, a special household, that is only possible to be a part of if you're a born-again Christian. You become part of a special household, the household of God. And as part of the household of God, the Bible says there in verse 19 that we are now fellow citizens with the saints. We are all part of the same household. And that's every believer in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all part of the same household. We're all fellow citizens of a new country. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, as we're told there in the first part of the verse, because we're citizens of a new place, God's place. And one day we will spend forever there with Him. In the meantime, we are fellow citizens of the same country. Not only are we fellow citizens, but as I began to look up that fellow word, I was amazed at what I found, that we truly are in this journey together as a unit, as a body. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, if you turn over there, just in the next book, in verse 25, that we're not only fellow citizens, but we're fellow soldiers. Notice it says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." So not only are we citizens of the same country, but we're fighting the same war. We are fellow soldiers. Then in Philippians chapter 4, if you turn there, verse 3, he says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." We're citizens of the same country, we're fighting the same war, and we're to be working side by side. We're fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, and fellow citizens. Then look in Colossians, the next book, chapter 1. In verse 7, it says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." We are also fellow servants. We are to be serving together the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, we'll see another one. It says, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." We're to be working together for the cause of Jesus Christ, for fellow workers. And then look at 3 John, verse 8. 3 John and verse 8, which says, "We ought, therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." What a blessing to find out that we are all in the same household. We are fellow citizens, fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, fellow servants, fellow workers, and fellow helpers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this journey together. As we're told all through the book of 1 Corinthians, especially around chapter 12, 13, 14, that we are one body and that we are all members of that one body, and we're all to be serving and helping one another as that body. And God talks about that there in our passage, Ephesians 2, verse 19. He says, "We are of the household of God." We are of His household. We are part of a house, as we'll see in a moment, that's built on a very unique foundation. It's built, this is not the same as 1 Corinthians 3, which is talking about our salvation. And our salvation is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This is talking about the body of Christ, the household of God, which is built upon the foundation of the truth of the Word of God. As we see there, the apostles and prophets, Jesus, of course, being the cornerstone of this foundation. It's all about the Lord. But we are all part of this same household. Look at Galatians 6, if you would, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. God gives this household a name. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So this household of God is also called the household of faith. You can't be part of it unless you trust Christ. And until you trust Christ, you're not part of God's household. But those of us that have trusted Christ, we are fellow citizens and all part of the same household, the household of God, the household of faith. Then he tells us about this household in verse 20. He says it is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation of this book. And Jesus intimated to this in Luke 24, if you turn back there, Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Luke 24:44, where Christ says, He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. There Jesus refers back to all three major sections of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Which is why we have, as modern day Christians, have broken the Old Testament up into those three sections. God did it for us. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. The poetic books, the prophetic books, and of course what we call the Pentateuch or the law. And Jesus says that they all talked about Him. And He took the time to spend time with His disciples after His resurrection and walk them through the Old Testament and show them Himself in the Bible, because He is the Bible and the Bible is Him. And so this household that we're part of is built on this foundation, not only of the New Testament, but of the Old Testament. Because we wouldn't have a New Testament if we didn't have an Old Testament. We wouldn't have the fulfillment of the Old Testament if we didn't have the Old Testament. And so it's built upon both. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, Ephesians 3, 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. By the Spirit. So the Bible says that this household that we're all part of when we're born again, we all become fellow citizens, we all become part of the household of God, which is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And notice it says in our passage, verse 20, that Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation was laid with the Word of God through the prophets and the apostles. And Jesus Christ, of course, is the cornerstone of this foundation that holds up this household of God. And He has been referred to the chief cornerstone all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. Christ is the cornerstone. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. We'll see that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Talking about Christ being the cornerstone. So we, when we're born again, we become part of the household of God. A special household. To become part of it, you've got to be born again. And you become a fellow citizen of this household. And the Bible says in our passage, verse 21, In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now this building is something we can't see with our eyes. It's the body of Christ. But it's real. And God's building it every day. Every day that somebody gets saved, God puts that person into this building. And He says it's fitly framed together. God's the one that builds this building. We don't build it. God builds it through souls that get saved. Now, we don't know how big it is. We don't know how long it is or how tall it is. It's not finished because God's still building. Every day, people get saved and get added to this building. But it's a good building because it's God's building. And he tells us, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, if you would, in talking about God's building. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Then he says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So the body of Christ is what we often refer to the church as, is also a spiritual building that God is putting together with all believers. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, if you would. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Remember our passage in Ephesians says fitly framed together. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase to the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God puts the pieces into the building where they need to go. And it says it's compacted or held together by that which every joint supplieth. So the body is put together by God, and He gives the gifts as they're needed, where they're needed, so that it works the way it's supposed to work. It's a beautiful thing. And only God could do this. We can't even put our heads around it, really, when you think about it. It's something we believe and understand, but we can't completely comprehend. This building of God that we're part of, that He puts together and compacts. And it talks about the measure of every part. People have different gifts. Some people are more spiritual than others. Some people are different than others. God works it all out. And He talks about that in the book of Romans, if you go over there in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The two chapters that talk the most about the members of the body are Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. So that makes it easy to remember. Just remember the number 12, which is Israel's number. And remember Romans and 1 Corinthians. Those two chapters talk about the members of the body. And here in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. God does this. He's the one that makes us members one of another. Now I'll go to 1 Corinthians 12, the other chapter that emphasizes this great truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Did you notice who decides who gets what gifts? In verse 11, dividing to every man severally as He will. God decides. And yet we have movements out there that's all they talk about is a certain gift, and everybody should have that same gift, and it's God. No, it's up to God to decide who gets what gifts. It's not up to us to decide or to covet certain gifts. We're even told that here in this chapter. When God saves us, He allocates to us gifts according to His will, as He wills, as it says there in verse 11. And then we, verse 12, become one body with many members. So also is Christ. We are part of Jesus. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And he goes on to explain how we're all different. But God works it all out and makes it work. So we become part of this building. This, as it says in verse 21 of our passage, this holy temple of the Lord. And he says, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So God inhabits not only every believer, which we know and understand. When we're born again, we become indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We become the temple of God, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 3 and many other places. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not saved. Having the Spirit and being saved are synonymous in God's program. But that's not what this is talking about. This says that God not only indwells every believer, but that God indwells this house that we're talking about, this household of God, this household of faith, this building, which is the body of Christ, is indwelt by Christ. I'll try to explain that to your grandkids. We believe it, but it's a lot like the Trinity. It's tough, but it's true. It's true. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, where God mentions this again. This habitation of God and this house made up of believers. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. So God takes each of us, just like you would build a building out of stones and make it all fit, He takes each of us as a lively stone and builds a spiritual house called the body of Christ, called the household of God, called the household of faith. And when that happens, we become fellow citizens of a new country. We become fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, fellow servants, fellow workers, fellow helpers. We all become part of this household. And it's our mission to do what we can for the other members of the household. That's one of the main reasons why we're here. To, number one, do our part to see that the household is built up by witnessing to the lost. And then number two, being a help to the other members of the household however we can. And that's, go back to our chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about this body. You could read the whole chapter, but notice verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's what this chapter is about. The members caring one for another. The members helping one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, God's going to continue to build this household until that trumpet blows. And then we'll all meet in heaven as a house, as a body, at the judgment seat of Christ. Until that day, we need to do our part to help the Lord by witnessing to the lost so that they can be part of the household of God as well. And then we need to do everything we can to be a good fellow citizen, a good fellow soldier, a good fellow laborer, fellow servant, fellow worker, fellow helper in Jesus Christ to the other members of this household. So praise God for this miracle that He's worked in our lives and making us part of this household of God. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word and this blessed truth about the body of Christ, the household of God. And I pray, Lord, we get excited about the opportunities that we have to minister one to another. There's believers all around us that need our help, that need our encouragement, need our admonition. Lord, there's also unsaved all around us that need the gospel. And so may we do our part to witness to the lost, that they might become part of the household, and Lord, to be a blessing by ministering to our fellow members in Christ. Guide us and use us for this, even this week, we pray in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.